Have you ever had someone say to you, I forgive you? And not in that kind of passive-aggressive way that says, then you need to apologize for something, but honest, full of integrity, I forgive you. Sometimes in response to your being sorry, sometimes even when you're not, someone who has forgiven you for something you have said or done against them, see if anything comes to mind. It's a powerful thing if it's ever happened to you. And what if after that, or as part of that, someone has indicated to you, I still want you to be part of my life? Because sometimes when we forgive, that's just to bring some healing or closure to something, but we're not going to go there again. But what if it includes a forgiveness that says, and I still want to be connected to you, I still want to be a part of you? That's what Jesus offered to Peter in today's story, and it's what I want to explore a little bit with you during the sermon today. We are beginning a series that'll take us over about the next 10 weeks, up to the beginning of the Easter season, and the name of the series is Here I Am. And as I said at the beginning of the service, the idea is to give us a chance to respond to God's calling in our life. So God speaks to us or is present with us through his word, through worship. And we want to say, okay, God, what do you want? What can I do? What do you want me to do? And just as an introduction to the whole series, we're going to come at that in two ways. I think that there's kind of two aspects to hearing God's calling in our life. There's not a one clear and simple way to say to God, here I am. And we're going to see that over the next weeks as we look at several different characters in the Bible and how they responded. So sometimes the here I am is full of doubt and questions and unsureness. And I don't know, God, how you could use somebody like me. I think about Moses, who was so concerned he couldn't speak well. And yet God was asking him to go speak to the Pharaoh of Egypt. Sometimes our faith is wavering. Sometimes it may be strong. There may be a courage like, God, use me. I'm ready to go. Or there may be kind of this, God, please, here I am, but please don't call on me. You know, kind of when you're in the classroom and the teacher's about to ask something, you know you don't know the answer. And most of us have mastered the whole averting of the eyes. You don't ever want to make contact. Well, what we want to do in this series, and I know this can be scary, is to raise our hand and, in effect, look God in the eyes and say, I'm listening for you to speak. I'm available for your calling, and I'm ready to go. I want to give the disclaimer that I realize we're not all there emotionally, but we're going to see in Scripture the whole range of human emotion, including the kind of averting the eyes and, you know, if you've got to call on me, go ahead. All of that's in there, and God does call all people and ask of us to join with him, to partner with him in his work in the world. The part two that we're going to see kind of different aspects of this is that as human beings, we respond to different aspects of who God is when he calls. So we'll see some weeks, like this week, it's God's love. And experiencing God's love makes me want to say, here I am. God, you've loved me and that's so amazing. What can I do for you? Other weeks we're going to see it's God's power. And you're like, how could I not serve a God that big and powerful? Or a sense that God is here with me, that stirs in me, God, how can I serve you? There's no one simple, God says, are you there? And I say, here I am. We're going to see just this very wide range of ways that God interacts with us and calls us forth. But the goal in all of that is to be listening, to be available, to be ready to go so that we can say, God, here I am. How may I serve you? What can I do? So today, we're gonna jump right in and dig into this story about Peter. And I want to start with some of the barriers to following Jesus or answering that call. When I say following, it's that whole idea of being of listening, being available, being ready to go, saying, God, what do you want me to do? And we're going to see through Peter's life what I think most of you, maybe all of us, have experienced is that there are things that get in the way of that, that make me not want to look God in the face or hold my hand up or sign up or even listen at all, that makes me want to tune out. So Peter is the perfect illustration of this. He was the golden retriever of the disciples. like the super enthusiastic, whether he understood it or not. He wanted to be there and do what Jesus was doing and jump right in. And I mean, that's my impression of him. So we have all these stories. We have Peter was the one when Jesus asked the disciples, who do people say that I am? And the answers were all over the place. Peter got it right. He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, well done. On that truth, I'm going to build my church in this world. And he commended Peter. And I can just imagine Peter just beaming, you know, at that. Peter was the one when Jesus came walking on the water and the disciples were in the boat in the storm. Peter saw that and said, Lord, you know, can I do that? Can I come out to you? And Jesus said, come on. And Peter, my impression from the text is he got a step or two on the water. He did it. And then his faith wavered and he began to sink. But he was the only one who said, I'm coming to you, Lord. Right? And he was the one, we read this story in confirmation class this morning in John 13, when Jesus, that Thursday night before his crucifixion, was with the disciples and put the towel around his waist and began to wash the disciples' feet. Peter was the one who first said, that's not right. You're not touching my feet. And then Jesus said, you got to do this. And then Peter said, well, wash all of me, right? My head, my hands, my feet, the full thing. I mean, Peter was all there. But that same evening when Jesus washed their feet, Jesus said to this super enthusiastic Peter, before the rooster crows, that is before tomorrow morning, you're going to deny me three times. Peter's like, no, I would never do that. Lord, I would do anything for you. I'm never going to deny you. And yet we know that's what happens. So my thought is about the barriers. The barriers is like Peter. Where we enter into today's story is Peter has failed his Lord. He did the one thing he swore he would never do. He publicly denied knowing Jesus. That scene up at the top right, you see the rooster in there. I'm just going to say it. Three times he denied Jesus. He said, I don't know the man. A third time he swore. He said, I do not know. By God, I don't know that man. And in that moment, he realized he had failed and he had fallen. And I think of his story as so helpful for us because we're going to see what God does with him. So many of us, I think, carry around this or that story from our own life where we feel like I failed God or I failed someone in my life. I failed myself. And so I'm damaged goods, right? I still believe there's a God. I still want to come, you know, worship. But when it comes to God using me, God calling me, me saying, here I am. There's other people that God should use other than me. I'm damaged goods. Why would God ever want to use me? So that brings us to the story in John 21. That's where Peter is. Apparently he's going back or thinking of going back to fishing because he's failed as a disciple. Plus, Jesus has died, but he's raised. But I think he's done as a disciple. And as Clay shared with the children, Jesus meets them. The disciples and Peter, especially on that bit, he comes to where they are and cooks a meal with them, and he pulls Peter aside, and that's where we come to this next slide. I think Jesus surprised Peter, and my hope is that he will surprise you. This is not a new idea that Jesus is forgiving, that God is merciful, that God would call or use all sorts of people with all sorts of backgrounds, but I hope you hear it freshly this morning, and it is as fresh and surprising to you as I believe it was to Peter that day. So three times, and this whole sequence plays out, three times Peter denied, I don't know Jesus. I don't know that man. I don't know the Nazarene. By God, leave me alone. I have nothing to do with him. Three times he did that. Three times here by that shore, Jesus pulled him aside and he asked him three times, do you love me, Peter? Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me, Peter? Three times, Peter had to answer that question. Because by his actions, maybe he didn't. But Peter says, Lord, I do. I love you. You know I love you. I would do anything for you, even though I messed up so bad. Three times he has to answer that question. I believe Jesus is three times giving him an opportunity to acknowledge where he had fallen short and to declare his love again. And then three times, Jesus follows that up with some form of take care of my flock, my sheep. One of the images for the Messiah in the Old Testament is that the Messiah, the King, would be a shepherd of God's people. And Jesus is drawing on that imagery to say, not just, Peter, take care of the sheep, but be a part of my ministry. Take care of my flock. Feed my sheep. Tend my lambs. Three times he follows up to that failure, to that question of, do you love me? To that declaration. And Jesus says, I believe you three times. I forgive you three times. And three times, I want you to be part of what I'm doing. This is that I forgive you and I want you combination that is so powerful if you've ever experienced it in some way in your life. And this is God through Jesus saying this to Peter. You're not done. You're not damaged goods. I love you, Peter, and I want you, Peter. And it's this invitation once again, freshly, to be a part of what God is doing. That is grace, and that's a word that we use a lot in the church. I fear that it's lost some of its depth, but it's genuine grace. That is undeserved love and forgiveness, right? Peter didn't say, I love you, Lord, with enough conviction that he kind of won his way back. This is Jesus saying to him, I love you this much. I want you back. And it's not burying the failure. No big deal, Peter. He's acknowledging it fully and saying, Peter, I forgive you and I want you. So not only did Jesus offer him genuine grace, but he offered him a full, fresh calling. Part of what Clay shared in his backstory was that Jesus actually kind of reenacted the whole first calling again. It too began with this miraculous catch of fish, and Peter the fisherman was invited, come follow me. And Jesus has replayed that, like the whole thing, kind of in compact form. They've had another miraculous catch of fish. Jesus has come to eat with them, and now he's pulled Peter aside to give him a fresh, new, come follow me calling. And that's what's leading us up to this, how are you going to respond to Jesus? Is it, here I am, listening, available, ready to go. So in just a few minutes after the sermon, we're going to sing a song called Depth of Mercy. And it is a beautiful song. It is trying to describe this tension between just how each of us has failed and fallen short of God, and yet how much bigger God's mercy is, how much deeper and broader and wider God's mercy is to scoop us up and say, and yet I love you so much, and I forgive you, and I want you. That's the 1-2 punch. I forgive you, and I want you. Come be a part of what I'm doing. So here's good news. I hope you hear this as good news. Just as God had not given up, Jesus had not given up on Peter, neither has God given up on you. So there's this combination of love and mercy. There's this invitation, come be a part of who I am and what I'm doing. It may be, and this is where I started today, this is God's love in full force. Right in this scene between Jesus and Peter. That's compelling to me, and I hope it is to you. But if it's not the thing that kind of unlocks your heart, or you're just like, yeah, I know that. I know God loves me. I rest in that. In coming weeks, we're going to encounter God in his power. We're going to encounter God in his presence, speaking in a quiet voice where you have to listen and pay attention. We're going to encounter a God who comes near where we are and says, I'm at work in the world. Do you have a vision for my work, and will you be a part of it? So week after week, we're just going to have these different invitations for God saying, I know everything about you. As scary as that statement may be, I know everything about you, and I love you, and I want you to be a part of who I am. And my hope is that's going to invite us to this posture of saying, God, I'm listening. God, I'm available. God, I'm ready to go. So that's where I want to end today. I want to ask you the question, are you listening? Are you available? Are you ready to go? There's another word that we use a lot in the church that we've probably also kind of lost the depth of its meaning. That's the word amen. Amen means yes, I agree. Let it be so. Somebody asks again, are you listening? Are you available? Are you ready to go? Amen.